Here we are then, the Lunchtime Social Debate, and we've got a new voice, and we're launching Joe Plum, because you are wanting to be doing a political show, and we thought, well, best way to do it is to launch you on the Lunchtime Social Debate and have a political chat. So welcome, Joe Plum.
Thank you very much. Very exciting.
Well, it is exciting because it means that someone else can do the political stuff. Yeah. I mean, you know, I kind of like it sometimes, and then other times I just think I get bored of it and so on. But how long have you been interested in politics?
For quite a long time, actually. I think one of the first plays I was ever in, I played Prime Minister Plum. as a character, so, and that was probably when I was about 14. So ever since then, I've always been really interested in what's going on with politics, and have been very open and very vocal about my opinion sometimes, but really just always constantly interested in what's going on.
Okay, so I mean, locally, is there anybody that you admire locally or not?
I think the work that Vix Louthien did in the last election, and her role as the Green Party candidate, I think she's done really well. And kind of the comments that she's been making about the island, and the David Hoare comments that came out of about the ghetto island, she's really kind of been at the forefront politically with that, and commenting back, which I think has been really a really good thing for the island.
There's two ways I look at that. One is being clever and doing it, and the other is jumping on it to, you know, basically heighten your profile. And none of it's wrong. I mean, say, you know, you've got to heighten your profile. She did really, really well in the last election. I mean, I didn't expect her to get 15,000 votes. I expected her to get, you know, a good healthy number. But it was a huge amount of votes that she turned around. It was something like 15,000 votes in the end.
Third place, and the, you know, the largest left-wing party for the Green Party in that election on the island, which is really positive.
Absolutely. So you know, you've got to do all you can to get... Because it is, sadly, it's all about publicity and getting your name out there. And if she's going to jump on the topic, then fine. And if it gets her name out there, I mean, we've got the elections next year, local elections, I'm guessing she's going to stand. And you know, most of us are hoping that she gets elected, because she seems to have the, you know, the Isle of Wight in her heart. And I think that's, you know, that's kind of what we lack a little bit. I think we've got a number of councillors that are wanting to do, but their hands are tied because of the national situation, the financial situation doesn't allow them to do it. But I think there's too many people that get elected and they just do nothing. They just sit in a job that they turn up to meetings and don't do anything. And I say, my mum always used to have this saying, is there's too much talk and not enough do. And you know, I think, you know, certain councillors are guilty of that, and I do think that there are a number of councillors that really want to do more, but they can't because their hands are tied. So maybe the times are changing. Maybe it's time for Vix Louthien to come in and you know, kick some backsides.
Yeah, I think some of it is to do with that ambition thing that you talked about. There's very ambitious politicians who want to move up the ladder and want to progress, so want to get their name out all the time. But I also think that they do have a duty to feed back, and they do have a duty to publicly stand up for the island. They are the voice of their local area, they're the voice of the island, and I think they have that duty to be able to actually go out and say, no, we disagree with this, this is not on. We need, you know, a statement or whatever from the person. Anything like this, I think these people need to stand up and be more public and be more vocal to support the views of the island.
Well, do you know what? You're absolutely right. And you know, there's a number of things I want to say, and we probably will get to say in this this hour. And you know, people do need to stand up. People do need to make a point, and they do need to stand together. But the sad thing is, you know, what's your thoughts on? There shouldn't be politics in local, you know, local elections. You know, they're councillors. Do you think we should take the politics out of it and let them get on with it in the big house? And that's my thoughts are, well, there's no place for politics at council level.
I think it is important. I think that they are representing you, and they're representing you in the same way that your MP is representing you, and it should go right down to that level. Otherwise, it takes away the importance of what's happening locally. I think we should be challenging them more. I think they should be more accountable of what they're doing publicly, and I think people should know exactly who their councillors are, and they should know exactly what they're doing. But the councillors are the ones who are not spreading that word. They're the ones who are not letting everybody know what they're doing. They're not going, actually, I've done this amazing thing for my local area. You don't hear that enough. You don't know who these people are. I don't know who I'm going to vote for in the next election, because these people have not, in the last 4 years, have not let any of that out. Nobody has told me what they've done for my local area.
It's a good point to make, and you know, there are a number of councillors. Our own councillor, I believe, is Julie Jones Evans in our home, and I know that she's busy, and I know that I'm forever seeing her out doing this, that, and the other. So I know that she's one of those people that is hard working and looking after a flock, so to speak. I know that Chris Whitehouse is very vocal, but shouting about certain things, does that actually get the job done? When you compare the two and how they do things, I know that Chris goes out and does a few things, but when you see Julie Jones Evans out and about, she's doing stuff and she's being accountable for it. And I just think she is she's kind of grown on me as a councillor, and even more so when she decided to leave the Conservative Party as well, which I'm not a big fan of. Now Ali's in, and she's what's the technical term, Ali?
I'm a parish councillor in Arrowton.
A wannabe councillor. Because they get paid.
I'm a parish councillor.
So what's your role?
I volunteer my services to represent the residents of Arrowton, Merston and Blackwater. I got involved 3.5 years ago after fighting a planning application and kind of realised things weren't being done as maybe they should be being done, and there was a lot of people having a say that maybe shouldn't have had a say, and the people in the locality weren't being listened to, weren't being heard. So I rallied the troops, drummed up some business, got elected to the parish council because of it.
So now, as a parish councillor, what sort of things have you done since in those 3 years?
Good question.
In those 3 years,
lots of meetings.
There was lots of meetings. There was a housing needs survey that had previously I had asked our parish council, as a member of the public, could we have a housing needs survey, and was told that planning and stuff like that was nothing to do with the parish council, which was obviously wrong, as I since found out. I did a bit of homework. I knew absolutely nothing, Joe, about planning, about any of it. I made it my business to find out, and I dug a bit deeper. I wasn't happy with what I found. In the past 3 years, there's been a housing needs survey which was done for Arrowton Parish, which counteracted the housing needs survey that was done by the developer, and even now it's still available on the council website, which I'm quite proud to have had a hand in that. I have helped our local county councillor in various things and him putting stuff out. I go to an awful lot of meetings. I sit on the parish council. I've helped and had a say. I've had a Christmas party for Arrowton Parish, which, as far as I was aware, after living there for 24 years, we hadn't had. I've represented the parish council on Remembrance Day up at the church. And I make it my business to keep up to date with everything that's going on, so that if people ask me, as well as my opinion, it's an informed opinion, because I've made it my business to find out.
So what about that, the move then from the parish council to the county council? What are the reasons behind that? Why do you think?
The reasons behind that are, obviously, my eyes have been opened completely to things that are going on in the island that I personally don't agree with. Schools are one of them.
Let's just take that one then.
Right, schools,
that's a good one, because we should let you know that Joe's a teacher.
Uh-huh.
All right, not that that's going to make any difference whatsoever, but I mean, let's just take that one. You don't see, I'm liking this already. You don't like what's going on. I don't like what's going on. We need change.
We do.
So let's take schools. How do we need to change?
Well, my youngest daughter is 14, and she started school at Arrowton Primary School. And the year she started, 6 months beforehand, the school had a £1.5 million refurbishment. So then we come to the school's reorganisation. Under all three options, that little primary school in Arrowton was due for closure. There was a few parents, I was one of them, we all got together, we're not having this, we're not happy with this, we're not closing this school. The support, I cannot tell you, Joe, the support for that little school was absolutely overwhelming. And we took part in the march in Newport, the same as an awful lot of people. virtually every child in that school and in that nursery. There were grandparents, there were teachers, there were teaching assistants, there was all the nursery staff, as well as the parents. And the representation from that school was incredible. You know, for the 84 children that were in that school, it was absolutely incredible. And here we are all these years later, and Arrowton Primary School is still open. It's still a lovely little village school. Obviously, it's expanded because it's had to take the two extra year groups. But my 14-year-old was all part and parcel of that. And that's not fair. That's not fair that my daughter had to go through that. And then we had, 2 years ago, there was talk of Medina College being closed. Can you imagine that as a mum, that your daughter has just started high school after being through all that at primary school, and there's talk of closing our high school? It was just, you know...
But so who do you at the heart of that was the council's decision to move to a two-tier system, and then since then the council have had their children's services taken over by Hampshire. Do you think that, would you encourage more of that? Would you encourage more kind of Hampshire taking control, because the Isle of Wight Council have not been able to successfully run our schools since then?
I think the problem probably goes back a lot longer than the council we've got presently. I think there's been such underinvestment in our schools for such a long time, and there is quite a deficit on what is allocated per pupil on the mainland, anywhere on the mainland, compared to what is allocated here. And considering that statistics show we've got 28% of our children living in poverty, I think that should be turned around. You know, we should have higher investment, and I'm not talking about just buildings and fabric. We should have higher investment and be more aspiring for our children as to what we want for our children. And as a parent, you know, those comments about the ghetto and, you know, we're all inbred and everything else that went with it, if he knows that, if he stated that, if he thought that, why hasn't he done something about it? He was in that post for 2 years, you know, plenty enough time to know what was going on the island. But it just seems as though...
Do you know what? For the first time in 6 to 8 weeks... somebody's asked that question. That question is, well, hang on a minute, you were responsible. What did you do? Did you just turn a blind eye to it all? Nobody's asked that question.
No, he just made fun of us.
Nobody's asked that question until now. That's the first time I've heard that question. That's the first time. How sad that is, that it all got lost in translation.
Yes, it did.
All focused on the argument, the bum fight, but hang on a minute, you didn't focus on the main problem was, you know, why our schools are, you know, failing in that. But you've just asked that question. Well, what were you doing? You turned a blind eye to all of this. You maybe should have been sacked, not for what you said, for what you haven't done.
Yeah.
But nobody's saying that. And as I say, that's really, really sad. But, I mean, making that point now is... It's music to lots of people's ears, but have we missed the boat?
I don't think we've missed the boat. I think we could still make his resignation count for something. We could say, well, actually, you know, that chap's resigned. Let's have some positive out of this. I absolutely agree that he should have lost his job, and I think my personal opinion is, from a mother, from a really, really proud Islander, and from the perspective of every child on the Isle of Wight deserves to be spoken better of and to have more encouragement than that, whatever he said, because all that does is demoralise people. It demoralises the teachers, the children, the parents. And to be perfectly honest, with my daughter now 14, she's starting year 10 tomorrow at Medina College, and I just think it's such an important year for her to focus on everything. But if you're listening, Casey, I am so proud that your assessments and all your tests through all of that are incredible.
But do you think the Isle of Wight is a good place to grow up?
I think when I was a child, I couldn't have wished for a better place to grow up. I think having three children of my own, I couldn't have wished for a better place to bring my own children up. But I think we've kind of lost what we need to give our children as parents. I've got two elder daughters that have both been educated on the island. They've both gone on and they've both attended Winchester University. They've both come out with degrees. Why aren't we shouting about children like that?
Do you think there is a problem with the university gap, where you've got a lot of people who, you know, on the island, the young up to the age of 18, and then we have a big gap? And I found it, you know, a lot of there are not many people between the age of 18 and 30 living on the island. And what about, what can we do to kind of to support that? Is that, is that because there is no, there's no goal for them, there's no university on the island to be able to look for?
Well, you're the best person to tell us that, aren't you, really? Because obviously we're 50 and it was different for us. There used to be factories and things like that, you know, apprenticeships.
There was a job for life, wasn't there?
4-year apprenticeships and things like that. That's all disappeared. So you're age 25?
Yeah, 25.
There you are. You're kind of one of the lucky ones because you've aspired to, you're a teacher. I would imagine you've had to have quite a bit of training for that. So there you are, you're a teacher, you've come out the other side, you're kind of set up now for life. Okay, and well, don't look like that. What
do you
know?
Because he's not,
done?
Is he? He's not. 30 years ago, he would have been. Now he's not, depending what school he works at. Which, see, and this is a bit I really, really don't get. Why are we trying to make a profit out of our children's education? Our children are the biggest asset this country has. Why are we not investing in our children and letting our children see what they can do, what they can achieve, what they can be? Absolutely anything they want to be. My youngest daughter has been to 2 graduation ceremonies for our elder sisters. Now, I know that meant taking a day off school for her to attend, but do you know what? That has been the focus for that little girl.
Do you think this? Like, for me, the solar can sometimes act as that Isle of Wight glass ceiling, where people just they don't know the options outside. It's, you can go to university and it's some distant thing, which to quite a lot of people is quite scary. It's away from everywhere else. You know, if you were living on the mainland, it's a drive anywhere. If you were going to another university, whereas here it is such a big gap, there is that, and it kind of, if you're not going to university, then it's kind of, are you trapped on the island? What's your options there? I think, and from teaching students, especially like sixth form students, there is that gap. There's lots of people who are worried about leaving. There's a lot of people who don't necessarily see that ambition on the island. So the only way that they can progress is to leave. There's nothing here on the island for them if they want to progress, especially through education.
Do you know what the good thing is about this? This is what we are, as a station, are all about, giving people like you a voice. Because we need to make people aware. I said something, we were off air about 20 minutes ago, and my biggest bugbear is that our dear old British media, radio, television, newspapers, they're there to educate us, and they don't. Because they don't, they're more interested in what some poor bloke, well, not poor bloke, but some bloke set up a website so you can have 2 wives. They're more interested in that than actually discussing the important issues, making people aware. And we should be making people aware of, that's the fears for our teenagers. That's the fears. Okay, if you're very switched on with your kids, and I would imagine, you know, a lot of parents are, they know this already. So what's the answer then? What is the answer?
Well, I don't know. There were comments this week about the Isle of Wight University and options about that. I don't necessarily think that is the best option, but I think we should be promoting to young people the amazing things that we can offer on the island. The fact that, yes, you can go off to university and that's fantastic and learn those skills, but then what happens after you've been 3 years at university? What can the island offer? And kind of showcase those. So it isn't that between the age of 18 and 60... what can you do on the island? And it's really promoting those things and promoting the people who are doing those things, and just to kind of fuel that so that we get that and more ambitious students. And I think that is the big difference between students on the island and students elsewhere is the lack of ambition.
So do you think the island needs a university?
I don't think that's the answer. I don't think... I would suggest that if the college wanted to expand and offer some degree courses, but I don't know whether there would be enough to pull in for the others. I think the other universities in the country are fantastic, and I would promote leaving the island and going. But it's about kind of what the island can offer for those who wish to stay, not necessarily just that university route, though.
See, I think the island would benefit from a university, but a university that not only offered degree courses, that offered apprenticeship courses as well, and put people that were attending university into apprenticeships in local island businesses. and gave them a focus and gave them a job for life like we used to have 30 years ago.
But there's no such thing as a job for life now. That's the world we live in. We've got to get our heads around that.
We need to create jobs for life.
We need to have a bit more security, obviously. I was just thinking, we talk a lot. My wife and I do a lot of walking, and I do a lot of talking, and she does a lot of listening. And, you know, I look at it and think, you look at the Isle of Wight and you think, what's one of our biggest problems? Roads. Why are they the biggest problem? Because of the terrain. Wouldn't it be great if we started sort of having youngsters that were going to college or university and learning about roads and structures and things like that, so we don't have to, you know, call down John from London who's going to charge us loads of money. We've got experts here on the Isle of Wight that know about the terrain, that know about the roads, and we'll fix our roads. And over a period of time, you know, they get taken on by Island Roads or whoever's got the contract. And so on and so forth. We need to be joining up those kind of dots. Now, that's not going to take on too many people, but you need lots of people to fix the roads. You need a few more intelligent people to know what you're doing and why you're doing it. But we never seem to be joining up the dots. It's always, you know, and we are second class when it comes down to it. We're always going to be second best when they're handing out the funding and so on and so forth. So maybe we need to look at the bigger picture and think, What problems have we got? Well, there's roads. There's one. Do we have an issue with shopping? Do we have an issue with our high streets? Yes, we do. Well, we need an expert then. We don't need that soppy old woman off the television to come down and tell us what we need to do. We need experts that know the area and know
local
the people.
Local shop owners. Pardon? Local shop owners, yes. That know their customers, that know who's walking through the high street to be able to buy their business.
Definitely, these are the people who should be showcasing these things. We should be promoting them. They should be going into schools to celebrate what they're doing. We should be promoting more of that than so that those students can explore and see. Because the amount of like businesses who created family businesses on the island that there are that offer lots of jobs to people, that's a brilliant opportunity for somebody who can see that they can actually start up their own business. They can actually deliver this service for people on the island. I think that's something that isn't taught enough in and promoted enough in schools on the island.
Well, there's lots of things that we could talk about. And if you want to take a call, you just push that button down and push that fader up there. And if they're still there, they'll say hello. Who's that?
Hello.
It sounds like an old friend. How are you doing?
I'm all right, mate. How's yourself?
I'm very well, thanks.
Long time no hear.
Well, it's not been that long. What can we do for you?
Too long, my friend.
Not long enough, some people say.
Hello, Ali. How are you?
Hello, Keith. I'm fine, thank you.
I'm not too bad. I just heard you say that you're looking for about jobs for life. Well, I think the situation now with the world is changing. I think the only sort of job for life now is in the caring industry.
Well, do you know what? Somebody mentioned earlier on, and they had facts and figures in front of them, and they did actually say that the average age on the Isle of Wight is... Go on, have a guess, the average age. Average age on the Isle of Wight.
85.
I'm going with 60.
Go on, Ellie.
73.
You're more or less there, Joe. A bit more switched on than most of us. 64 is the average
64.
Age. It's the average age. Well, what does that tell you? What does that tell you? We are a retirement home.
I actually came across a lady last week at work who was 105, and she was telling me that she's got a 94-year-old and a 96-year-old sister.
Amazing. Isn't it when I'm 64 is the Beatles song that says, well, I'm going to go to the Isle of Wight.
Going to go to the Isle of Wight. Yeah. See, they're taking it literally, aren't they?
Yeah. They all bought the song.
Yeah, almost in the same situation, I think. It's either full of students or full of elderly.
So what do you think we could do to solve that, if there is a solution?
Who am I speaking to? Sorry, I didn't...
Sorry, I'm Joe. Hello.
Hello, Joe. I'm Keith. It's a long-time friend of Ian's and caller to the station. And when you say what can we do to amend the situation, are you on about the elderly people, or...?
Well, that generation gap, the gap between the young and the old, what do you think we can do?
Well, I've got to agree with Ian and Ali there, I'm afraid. That back, I suppose it happened about the mid-90s when you started to lose all your industry over there. And there's nothing for the youngsters to step into, so therefore they either became unemployed or long-term unemployed, and either that or they left the island, I'm afraid.
So is there anything we can do, or do we to help that now?
What shut the industry down, my friend? I'm afraid it's been the same old story for decades now, and that's the price of the ferry. Manufactured. I used to pull stuff off the island, manufactured down at freshwater there. I think it was Reeders. I think they used to make the stuff for Woolies. And well, unfortunately, Woolies has gone down, let's see. And they had a factory down at Freshwater there, at Totland, I think it was. And they also had a place up at, oh, crikey, was it up at Cowes, I think, we had a place up there.
Down Cowes, you mean?
So Keith, just to confirm, because Joe won't know this, you were long-distance lorry driver for a long time.
That's right. Yeah,
and
that's
you would come to the Isle of Wight and pick up
that's
goods,
right.
Take goods to the island, and you're saying yeah. that the ferry services have probably the reason why the businesses have dwindled.
Yeah, it's the cost. Not unfortunately, but you have a brilliant transport firm over there called Steve Porter, who actually built his business up, and he's got several depots on the mainland here now as well. And of course, the people went to them, and they funneled themselves. Used to have Vectors, that's not there anymore. Used to have Vectors Transport, which was part of the APB group, ABP, Associated British Ports. They were based at Newport. I think they were down by the quay there, in where your sail park. Unfortunately, they got sold off, and that was part of Red Funnel, and they sold that off, and unfortunately, they sort of went wayward. And you had like Ronson Factory. Do you remember Ronson's?
I remember Ronson's. Yeah, that used to be down Forest Road.
Dixon's, the big printers, I used to pull off there.
Loads of companies.
Yeah,
Samuel L. White's. Samuel White's Industrial Estate.
Potpourri.
Plessy's used to house about 2,500 people there years ago.
Two Plessy's and off from Plessy's down to wherever the radar installations were, yeah.
I've got to be honest with you, it's probably the mid-1980s when, people weren't sort of guaranteed apprentices. It was a case of where were you going to go and work? Where were you going to go and work? You were going to go and work in this factory. You were going to go and work in that factory.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And it all stopped. And it all faded out. And now
that's basically when they had the yuppie boom, wasn't it? When everybody sort of took off and became office people, didn't they?
But most of our industry that you've just mentioned, Keith, went off to foreign businesses. Nothing much to do with the ferries, I don't think.
Oh,
it was cheaper to employ.
I was at the ferry terminal at Portsmouth when they had the powerboat racing around the island. Powerboat racing back to 1991, 1990,
something like that. Are you hands free?
No, mate, a signal. Does the signal keep going?
Yeah, no, the signal doesn't keep going. You keep going, what we would call off mic.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Strange.
So,
speaking to your microphone, Keith.
Speaking to your microphone, Keith.
I've got you on my earpiece.
That's what it is.
Oh.
That's what it is.
My ear keeps touching the mute button, as you know, with iPhones. They've got a very, very prone mistake to doing that. If you touch the mute button, you turn yourself off.
So go back to when you were our age. Left school and you're getting an apprenticeship. Was it similar? Did you have the similar sort of thing where you were?
Well, when I left school, mate, you're talking 1972, and there was plenty of work around. You know, there was. Of course, I went on the farm. I was going to join the merchant navy, but it never happened. My mates went on work for Taskers. Ever heard of Taskers? Are you still lorry trader?
Yeah.
For steam engines. They went on the Taskers, which is sadly gone now. And there's locomotives, they used to build fire engines, and there was AMF Lead, used to build bowling alleys.
See, but all that's gone overseas, Keith, to build all that. It's nothing to do with the ferries.
Well, no, not really, it wouldn't be, would it? Because we've got ferries to go over to there for the stuff we were making. But, so, I think, personally, you're held to ransom. I do believe you're held to ransom.
Are you in favour of a fixed link to the island, or do you think we should have more regulars?
Well, if you have a fixed link, it's going to be a tunnel. There's no way it's going to be a bridge. Because it's bound to be.
But you would definitely promote that. What about you, Ali? What do you think of that?
Absolutely not. The clue's in the name, the Isle of Wight.
You're still going to have the ferries there, no matter what you put, whether it's a bridge or a tunnel, because. It's like I think Red Funnel got a thing where they managed to get an extra. Have they got that pass yet at Cowes, Ian? Do you know or not?
Sorry?
Have they got that pass that they won't do a lot of?
Oh, I've gone to appeal.
No, they've. I think they're appealing and they're going through the rigmarole again.
So take the scenario, Keith. We've got a tunnel, okay? We've got a tunnel.
Yeah.
And there's a fire in the tunnel. And the tunnel's closed for 3, 4, 5 days, like it has been on Eurotunnel. What on earth does the Isle of Wight do then? Because all the ferry companies have gone because they're not, you know, they're not viable to run anymore. So we've got a tunnel.
Yeah, because you've got to realise that the ferry companies are there to make money. They're not doing it as a favour to you. That is not there for your benefit.
No, I'm not saying that.
Do you think we're sounding a bit like, well, it's always someone else's fault?
And we do. And we pass the buck.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't believe that it's we can't blame the ferries.
No,
not totally.
No.
You know, is it a case of bad business? Is it a case of they can get it cheaper elsewhere, massively cheaper elsewhere? Ferry fares don't come into it. Is it a case of all of these things? All of these things you've got to factor in. And over the years, you know, we've sold off this, that, and the other. And we're not going to get it back. I mean, you know, we're very good at saying, oh, it's always someone else's fault. It would be great if we could, for the next generation, Joe's kids, we can say, right, okay, we know what the issue is. Now we're going to fix it. It's going to be okay in the future. Because, let's be honest, in a very short space of 20, 25 years, we've kind of lost an awful lot nationally, but more importantly, let's focus on the island. We have lost so much. You just rattled off, and I remember all of those factories. Family members have worked in them as well, and they've disappeared. And we're not ever going to get them back again. No. So what is the answer?
But do you not think that then, with that the if you're a company and you want to expand and have a factory somewhere, and you're looking at loads of different places, and the Isle of Wight comes up as one of those options, but on top of that, you've got the issue of how do you get everything there, how do you pay for the ferry prices, is that not something that then puts us quite quickly on the bottom of the list? It doesn't matter how amazing the island is. If they've got that extra cost, they're going to go, well, actually, it's now going to cost me £1 less per item to move it to Southsea or Portsmouth or wherever.
Yeah. Well, if that is the case, really, truthfully, why have we got so many supermarkets?
Because there's a need on the island, isn't there?
Of course. But we've got about 4 supermarkets in Newport. Surely there ain't that much of a need, is there?
No, because a family has only got a certain amount of money to spend. It doesn't matter where they spend it. They've got a budget.
There's another one
opening up on Thursday. Investment...
What you'll find, Ali, is that the supermarkets you've got over there, they are being carried by the mainland supermarkets, aren't they? You know what I mean? It's just another opening. Whatever happened to your house, is you're going to get there.
See, I get that you're saying that, Keith, but if it wasn't profitable for them to be here,
they would
have closed down.
They took years to get here. Because let's be honest, Tesco arrived in about 1983, 84?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the first big supermarket that we had. And they're still here and they're still expanding.
Yeah, exactly. It's like you say, your island yourself, it should be self-sustainable. Like you say, all the red tape took away your blinking avatar.
That was a big mistake. Big mistake, taking away the abattoir.
So now the farmer has to pay to get his beef or whatever is off the island. So that's why farmers are going under. And they're switching to solar panels, mate.
Hey, look, Keith, thanks for calling. Yeah. It is a bit of a bad line, but thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Cheers now.
Bye.
We should, hopefully, fingers crossed, if you click the right button, we should get a commercial break now if you click the other button I told you about, and we'll come back after these.
The Lunchtime Social Debate is sponsored by Jobs on the isleofwight.co.uk. If you're looking for work or if you're looking for staff, please call Jobs on the Isle of Wight on 01983 564 880.
This is Vectis Radio.
Immerse yourself in the nostalgia of how railways used to be at the Isle of Wight Steam Railway. Our genuine island locomotives and carriages date back to Victorian times and are immaculately restored to pristine condition. Book now and you'll enjoy a 1-hour train ride taking you through the island's unspoiled countryside and woodland. Our new Train Story Discovery Centre at Haven Street provides an opportunity to get close to the carriages and locomotives. And a range of interactive activities can be enjoyed by all ages, telling a fascinating story of railways on the island. Also new for 2016 is the informative and engaging Bird of Prey Centre. For full details, call 01983 882 204 or visit iwsteamrailway.co.uk. hamiltonsfinefoods.co.uk.
Andy Gustar is here to tell us about Bring a Friend at Hamilton's Fine Foods.
Bring a Friend is a scheme we're running for our existing customers to take away a voucher and to bring a friend in with that voucher next time, so that you each receive a pack of our famous ham, our traditional ham and local ham. We're going to keep this going hopefully for around about 2.5 to 3 months. When you turn up, initially you'll be given a voucher, and on that voucher you'll find there's a small form to fill out as regards to your details, your name, your telephone number or your email address. We want to build a database that we can keep you in contact with our ongoing offers. We do some spectacular offers of a very good quality meat.
Hamilton's are in Newport, they're in Pyle Street. Where else are you?
We're in Cowes High Street, Witten Bridge. We also have a shop now up on Dodner Industrial Estate.
Hamilton's Fine Foods, the best local butcher in town.
Yeah, just drop it there, Dave.
This is Ted. Ted loves listening to Vectis Radio when he's out and about. Don't you, Ted?
I do. I love listening to Vectis Radio when I'm out and about. I gotta tell you, lugging this desktop PC around is doing my back in.
Oh, Ted, you are silly. If you, like Ted, are finding it troublesome listening to your favourite local station when on the go, here's a simple solution. Just download the Vectis Radio app for free on your smartphone or tablet. Then you can listen to all your favourite radio shows without the inevitable need for a hernia operation.
The Vectis Radio app? On my phone? Sure, I feel like such an idiot.
Oh, you are, Ted. You really are. The Vectis Radio app is in association with Southern Vectis and Red Funnel Ferries, our sponsors on land and sea, helping you listen to Vectis Radio absolutely free.
Hello, everybody. My name is Verka Sirdyuchka.
Whoa, 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 wait a minute. What was that? That was not dance music. This is dance music.
It's Dazzy D, just reminding you that if you love dance music, then please join me every Saturday from 7 p.m. right here on Vectis Radio with The Mashup. Bringing you some quality, fresh tracks, classic floor fillers, the UK dance chart top 10 lowdown, and the odd masher here and there. If you like your dance tracks, then don't forget to join me from 7 on Saturday. It's The Mashup.
Stay social and get in touch. Give us a call on 01983 240 666, or add us on Skype. It's vectis.radio. The World Wide Web never felt so local.
The Lunchtime Social Debate is sponsored by Jobs on the isleofwight.co.uk. If you're looking for work or if you're looking for staff, please call Jobs on the Isle of Wight on 01983 564 880.
Okay then, welcome back. It's part two. We're launching Joe Plum. Joe Plum is in. He's a political animal.
I'll go with the political animal.
He's got a matching shirt to go with the name. That's really cool.
That is planning.
I'm colourblind. So is that the colour plum?
Did you plan it?
Well, I like a bit of plum-coloured clothing.
So, you're interested in politics. You're going to be doing a political-based show. You're going to be interviewing local politicians. And the one that impresses you most is Vix Lowthian. Is there anybody else? I mean, we've actually got on the show on Friday being interviewed by Joan Ellis, our very own Andrew Turner. And what is your thought process on Andrew? What would you know? Is there positives and negatives?
We had him into school. I organised the PSHE days at my school, so that's personal social health education. And we have a whole day off timetable. And this one we invited Andrew Turner to talk to our junior school, and it was actually fantastic. It was at the time when they were voting on whether to bomb Syria. That was just coming in the following week. So there were questions from the students about that, because it was all in the news a lot. And there was one moment where I almost agreed with him, which I thought was quite enlightening, where he was basically saying about the government in Syria was not supportive of what was happening with the bombing, whereas when we were bombing Iraq, we had support from the government in the most recent attack there. Against IS. So on that one point, I have met with him a number of times when I was younger, around the election in 2010. I spoke to him then about some key issues that I felt that he was voting against. He was very against gay rights, which I was strongly pro and moving towards gay marriage and things, which I spoke to him about, because online you can view all of his previous voting records, and he is strongly against equality in terms of gay rights, which I spoke to him at length about. I also talked to him about like what he's going to do for Arts Council funding and support for that, which was at the time a big issue there. So I do think. No, I don't. I was going to say I do think he's got the island kind of interest at heart, but I actually think that he sometimes takes his own opinions way above the opinions of the
absolutely,
island.
Absolutely, and he should be there to represent the people of the Isle of Wight, yeah, not himself.
Most definitely.
And you I don't think he's doing it?
I don't think he is representing.
How come he got voted in then? With what 30,000 people?
Because of his colour. Yeah.
So I'm looking around, and there's what 30,000 people. One in four people that can vote on the Isle of Wight voted for Andrew Turner.
They would have voted for a goldfish if you'd have painted it blue.
Well, that's the clean version.
Colour. But I think that there is that element of the conservatism on the island, and also looking like nationally when people vote, and the fact that there was no alternative to the government that was presented in a strong enough way. I think that that Labour and then the divisions of the left then meant that there was no alternative. To have Labour come fourth in a local election on the other way is a really poor showing. And the rise of other parties, like the Green Party, is a kind of the only real alternative there from that side. It didn't have the momentum to kind of back it up, and there was no strong enough alternative. And I found that that it was definitely the case, that there was not presented well enough as an alternative view. I think nationally that means that sometimes people vote from a national point of view, and some people vote for a local point of view, and you should really have that balance. But I think especially on the island, that was the reason why he supported. We were liberal before then, and
liberal for years and years and years.
Really disappointing that has not kind of sparked up again. Obviously not from the last election with what happened with the Democrats before then, but actually I think that the Liberal movement is something that should start to be stronger on the island, and it hasn't seemed to.
Because the Liberal movement actually represents an awful lot more people that live on the Isle of Wight than anything else.
Does it?
Yeah, I think it does.
Okay. Do you want to take a call, Joe, if they're still there? Push that button and push that fader up and away we go. Hi, who's that?
Yeah, we're going to hell in a ferry.
Have you paid for it then?
We've upgraded from the handcart then.
Yeah. No, the wheels fell off the handcart.
On the bumpy roads.
Yeah. We got an interesting time ahead of us, right?
Yeah.
We are about to reclaim our borders. But we don't own anything within the borders anymore.
That's a good point.
Yeah, we've sold
so
it all off.
We're reclaiming our borders, but we don't own anything. We don't own any infrastructure. I mean, we're arguing at the moment over a Chinese blinking power station at Hinkley Point. What on earth are the Chinese doing building a power station in Britain?
Money.
Why do they want to build one here?
Money.
So, do you see what I'm getting at?
Money.
We don't own anything anymore. We've got nothing to bargain with, and we want to reclaim our borders. So what are we going to have left? We're going to hell on a ferry.
Do you know what? It's really funny. This is kind of all interlinked with what we were talking about, the media and the media educating people and letting you know what's going on, the truth, and so on. It's they're obligated to do that, but you don't very often get the truth, or if you do, look at the back page, or if you do, it's a very, very small clip. I mean, there we were, perfect. This morning, ITV, prime time in the morning, they're talking about a website where you can get a second wife, stirring up a bit of aggravation and so on and so forth. Whilst down the road, this little place is being built, and it's like, well, it's like an also-ran story. Now and again, they might drop it in just to let you know that it's happening, but they won't go into too much detail about it because you don't really want to know. Because if you do know, you'll get irate, and we don't want you to get irate because we're making money out of it, and so on and so forth. So we're being like controlled in that respect.
Yeah.
And you know, when is this thing going to be finished? Is it done deal? They've already started building it. Hey, these are things that we should know already, isn't it?
But we've almost got a prime minister going out there begging them, saying, you know, we're not 100% sure when we'll start on it, but please don't pull your investment out because we really want you. Why do we?
Why do we?
I've no idea.
We're sitting on 200 years worth of coal, which is too dirty to take out the ground these days. It don't seem to worry the folks in Poland, does it?
No.
It don't seem to worry the people in America.
And it doesn't seem to worry our Prime Minister that's out there with a begging bowl for a country that... How much green gas effect do they cause?
I mean, we don't own a single stretch of railway line in this country now, apart from the Isle of Wight Steam Railway.
There you go. That's something to shout about and be proud about, that is.
We don't own a bus company.
No.
Don't we?
We don't own the telecoms. We don't own steel.
Southern Vectis is not owned by Southern Vectis. What are you saying?
Somewhere up in Newcastle, isn't it? Probably right. DB Schenker, which is not a made-up name. They own half the railways in this country.
Yeah, I noticed that most of our football clubs now are owned by imported people, aren't they? I mean, they don't even live here, half of them.
If we want a feel-good factor, what have we got? Mo Farah, he's an import.
Yeah, no, he's all right. He's an Arsenal fan as well,
but
so he's
all right. He's from Somalia, isn't he?
Yeah.
And he left his twin brother behind to get out.
if I had a twin brother, I'd have left him behind as well.
the point about it all is that we get a little bit of feel-good in the summer watching the Olympics, occasionally watching a bit of football or perhaps rugby, whatever your persuasion is. But then when you slap yourself down to reality and you see these poor people trying to get to work on southern railways up and down the country, and you think, what on earth is going on in this country? We're supposed to be one of the richest countries in the world, aren't we? And we can't even get a blinking train to London.
We've just cut ourselves off from the rest of the world and the trade links with Europe. And for a lot of the other countries, they're thinking, right, Britain has decided it wants to be on its own, here it is. But we have actually not got enough to offer from our own country. We've now gone, right, we're just going to be on our own, we're going to take back our borders, we're going to take back our country, and let's make Britain great again. But what actually do we have to offer? Surely we're in a world now where it's all about those international links. It's all about working together with different countries.
It could be, but what do we get back? Or what were we getting back? I was listening to one of the, I think it was Radio 5 the other morning, about a fisherman who was saying that he has to chuck back fish under a certain size. But come January, the latest European directive is that he can no longer chuck back fish that are undersized, because that's be almost tantamount to littering. Whether they're good, bad or indifferent, he has to bring them in, he can't sell them, can't eat them, and put them in landfill. That is exactly the sort of thing that made people vote to say, up yours, Europe, because you're absolutely talking twaddle.
But do you not think that actually underneath there's a Europe-wide fishing regulation, which means that, and yes, there are some elements of that people can disagree with, and there was a democratic vote for those regulations to come through, but actually are supporting...
But what regulations do actually benefit us?
But that then supports the sustainability of fish. So it means that we will be able to get fish on our table that is of a decent quality, that is caught in a sustainable area. That means that actually we're going to have a long-term fishing programme. It means that we'll be able to have fish on our table in the future. Whereas if you don't have that regulation...
Do we have fishermen anymore?
Well, there are big groups of trawler men that go out on a daily basis
and
every morning.
And they go miles out to sea to catch what they used to be able to catch around the coastline of this country,
which is exactly why
those hoovered up by the factory ships from God knows where, including probably Russia, but most likely France or Spain.
But it's exactly why those regulations are in place, is to improve the sustainability of fish in our and around our waters.
But we gave them free reign.
But if we're improving our sustainability, nobody else seems to be worried about it apart from us.
But it's a Europe-wide thing, so we're covering over the whole
of Europe. Most of Europe hasn't got any sea, that's why. We got it all round us, so no wonder they got a bit of the ump about us saying, up yours, because we're going to do away with all their fishing rights.
Yeah, they were pinching all our fish.
You see? So they're going to have chips.
We gave them free reign to do that.
But we also then had the opportunity to be able to trade that fish with the rest of, Europe without
any
tariffs. But we have the ability to collect the fish from our areas in the same way that other countries have, and we could trade those in a sensible and cheap and economic way, which we now don't have.
Well, I think, to be honest, we won't in the future. I think that this country has shot itself in the foot over the last 30 years.
Mm.
And if you want to use the Isle of Wight as the reference point for the rest of the country, you could probably... It forms a quite a nice analogy there, because the Isle of Wight likes to shoot itself in the foot on a regular basis. We don't seem to know our brass from our oboe when it comes to things, apart from music. Yeah? I mean, what have we got over here? You mentioned, or Keith mentioned earlier, some of the businesses. What about Britain Norman?
Yeah, another one.
I mean, they had to they had all their planes impounded over a row over a runway. You know, this is no way to treat a business that is actually employing people, is it? Whatever the rights and wrongs are.
But as a country, do you think we should be doing more to kind of go, right, if there's lots of other countries around the world that are running organisations and businesses that used to live in the UK and used to be working here, that we should do exactly the same? We should be promoting more of an
international... I look at it entirely differently to all of this, right? I look at it as like, obviously as I would, I look at it like a cake. The cake is one size. If you want a bigger slice of that cake... The only way you can have it is to take someone else's slice or a piece of it. At the moment, all this country does is move money around. It doesn't make anything because we don't own anything. It moves money around. If you turn yourself back to the turn of last century, we've gone from a situation where we made everything and supplied it to the world to a situation where we make nothing to supply it to the world.
So to carry on with that food analogy, which you brilliantly introduced with the cake, I use that in with some of my students that I teach politics to, that it's a bit like having a lunchbox. That if you're in Europe, what you can do is everybody as a group brought their lunchbox in and we shared it amongst everybody else and we worked out, right, what does everybody want? You can either have that where you take, and sometimes you might not have much, you might just have a bag of crisps and a ham sandwich, or sometimes you might have a full hummus salad with all sorts of trimmings. But then you would share with everybody and everybody would get a fair amount.
Do.
Or you can have your lunchbox and whatever you get, that's what you're going to have and you're going to keep
that.
Yeah,
but if someone came into that scenario regularly with an empty lunchbox or with a lunchbox full of rotten food, how long would you have to carry on giving them your food for them to get the idea that they've got to do something for themselves?
Absolutely. And I'm with you on that, Arthur. It's like when you go out with the wife and you order some chips because she don't want any, and she starts eating yours.
Yeah.
Not on.
No, it's
yourself
it's
a second wife.com.
You know, we need, the whole country needs a boot up the backside to say, look, we don't own anything anymore. Why don't we own it? Because consecutive governments of whatever persuasion have flogged it off to the highest bidder,
absolutely.
Taken the money, thank you very much. We got a nice house out in the countryside. The rest of the country can sit on its thumbs.
Yeah.
But that's where we are at the moment. And in your grandchildren's lifetime, I'll predict this, not in mine, don't matter to me, in your grandchildren's lifetime, there will be a fixed link to the mainland from the Isle of Wight. It's inevitable.
There you go, then. You've heard it first.
Right? If you can get a bridge to the Isle of Skye, which looks after one man and a dog, there's no way the Isle of Wight will avoid it for the next century.
Good point.
Right?
I wonder if that will happen.
It, guaranteed.
All right, not in our lifetime, but in our grandchildren's.
If you don't, you can dig me up and roast me on a spit.
Okay, well, yeah.
But don't touch my slice of the cake.
No.
No, you have your cake, Arthur.
Thanks for your call, Arthur.
Bye-bye.
Cheers.
Bye.
Now. Okay, but it's 17, if, yes, it's 57 minutes past 12. We've got about
Nobody
3 minutes.
Nobody says that.
Oh, no, they don't, but I'm just thinking.
Three minutes to one.
I'm giving him a nudge, because he knows 57, we've got an ad break. We've got to go up to the news, and we've got to get there. So I'm grappling me quite much. That's what I'm trying to do. So that is just about it, isn't it? I mean, it is, 3 minutes to one. Thank you for coming in and hosting the show. Hopefully you've enjoyed it, and hopefully it'll be the first of many times you come in and talk politics. And what this is all about is about giving people a voice. It's okay, you've got the other side of the desk, you've got 250 plus people here, and we're going to have a different opinion to you. And the good news is that you're probably a little bit more in touch, although, you know, we have a lot of youngsters in here, we do a lot of listening and we do a lot of talking, and you know, we should be listening more to the youngsters. We should be listening to younger people more often. Hopefully that don't sound patronising, but we should, because you're our future. And you know, I'm hoping that at some point, Arthur touched on their grandchildren and so on and so forth. Wouldn't it be great if we could put something in place now? Okay, it's not going to fix straight away, because you need to grow it. You need to grow these things, and you need to say, right, okay, we're going to put this in place now. So in a few years' time, things get better, and there's a future for our kids. At the moment, is there a future for our kids? It's limited, isn't it?
Definitely.
You've got kids out there with limited futures. That needs to change.
Absolutely.
Anyway, should we, if there's anything you want to add, add it.
Thanks for that, Grandad.
We're good. Grandad. It could be Grandad.